And we are talking about the fourth commandment. So Exodus, thankful for rest is the name of our title today. So we're going to talk about resting and resting. You know, there's one command in the Ten Commandments that that is quite unique. Because there's really one command that we reinterpret a lot, that we're really confused about, that we maybe disregard or argue about more than any of the other nine in the Ten Commandments. I think we're pretty much all on board with, you know, thou shalt not murder, right? I think, like, we're all pretty much on the same page there. But when it comes to the Sabbath, I think there's a lot of different pages. There's a lot of different views on it. There's a lot of different ideas about it, what it means. How do we apply it now? What does it mean to Christians? Should we disregard it? Should we watch it? There are some groups who see the Sabbath as like the thing. Like that is the thing. You either keep the Sabbath or you're not a Christian. And what does it mean to keep the Sabbath? Well, it means to keep it in the way that our group says you have to keep it. And if you don't do that, then you're probably not even a Christian. In fact, you're definitely not a Christian. And there's other groups that say, well, you don't need to think about it all. That was Old Testament. You don't need to even think about it. Don't give it a thought. You know, work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That's what's important. And I want to suggest that maybe both those views are mistaken, that both those views are wrong. And as we kind of struggle and wrestle through this idea of the Sabbath, I came face-to-face with it a couple years ago when someone asked me, and I think it was a kid, because kids are always really insightful on these things that us adults have seemed to slide past. And they said, well, I thought Sunday was supposed to be a day of rest. And I said, yeah. And they said, but you work. I said, yeah, you're right. I do. And they said, why? And that's like the worst question. Why? And I said, well, it's because I'm awesome. That didn't satisfy them. That didn't help them. But it was a good question, and it was something I had to kind of, you know, work through a little bit. You know, like, is Sunday supposed to be a day of rest? And if it is, you know, why am I working? Or why do other people work? Or how do we understand the Sabbath command? How do we actually understand what it means? So what do we do with the Sabbath? Is it something we really do need to have locked down or else we're out of the kingdom? Or is it something we should just disregard altogether? Or is there anything worthwhile in talking about it at all? Well, I think the Sabbath is of great importance to us as Christians, as people of God. Both for our faith, but also for our life. See, the world we live in is a 24/7 busy, busy world. I think most of us in this room, except for maybe two, will remember when TV stopped. Remember during the day, like TV was on until like 11 o'clock, and then there was no more TV. There was no more shows on. There was a test pattern until, you know, 8 o'clock the next morning. But not now. Now you got 24-hour news, 24-hour this. There's always breaking news, 24-hour, you know, HGTV, so you can watch, you know, people flip houses as, you know, whenever you want. The emails never stop. The meetings are constant. The work never ends. Stores never close. And even in retirement, I've heard from many people that they're busier than ever, that it hasn't slowed down for them. And the world doesn't slow down. The world goes faster and faster and faster. Is this how God made us to live? Is this how God designed us to work until we die? Not just to work, but to work, 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 work until we die. How is that any different than slavery? How is that any different? Is there a better way? Is there maybe a divine order or divine rhythm that we are made to follow? Well, the answer is yes. There is a rhythm. There is an order that's not only better for our faith and better for our minds, but it's healthier. It's better for our bodies. It's better for our souls. It's just better for us. And I'm going to go so far to say is it's better for our world. I'm not, now, this morning, I'm not going to give you tips on how to clear your calendar. I'm not going to give you life advice on what day you have to do it or what it means if, you know, well, maybe I can carve out a few hours here and here's some tips on how to do some Sabbath rest stuff. I'm not going to give you that. I'm not going to give you restrictions on what you can do and what you can't do on the Sabbath. What I want to do this morning, what my goal is this morning, is to show you the beauty and the purpose of the Sabbath in such a way that you will want to embrace it in your own life. That's my goal this morning. So you're not really going to hear, you know, well, here's something you can do. You're going to hear, this is what it's about. And I want you to see the beauty of it in a way that you're going to say, how can I do that? How can I get that? What does that look like in my own life? So the first thing you need to know about the Sabbath, especially the Sabbath as shown here in verse 20, is the Sabbath was a sign of the Mosaic Covenant. So the Sabbath is a sign of the Mosaic Covenant. Every covenant has a sign. Every covenant in the Bible has a sign. You know some of the signs. The covenant with Noah, what's the sign of the covenant with Noah? Rainbow, right? Yeah, the rainbow. What's the sign of the covenant with Abraham? You know this. Nobody just wants to say it. Circumcision, right? The sign of the covenant with Abraham is circumcision. What is the sign of the new covenant? We haven't done it because we're social distancing. And we're not passing around crackers and juice, communion, right? The Lord's Supper. That's the sign. You might argue maybe there's two signs, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Right, and there's all these signs. And so the sign of the Mosaic Covenant is the Sabbath. That's the symbol of the covenant. That's the action that someone took to help them remember the covenant and show their loyalty. That was the Sabbath is the ongoing sign, just like the rainbow is the ongoing sign of the Noahic Covenant. And the Sabbath is never, not once, given as a command to Christians in the New Testament. Not once. It doesn't show up there even once. And the reason why it doesn't show up there even once is because we're in a new covenant with new signs. Right? It's the same reason why there's no command for circumcision in the new covenant. Right? So our discussion this morning is not about keep the Sabbath and you're in and break it and you're out. It's about understanding what the sign pointed to and how we see the character of God in the sign. One of the really interesting things about the sign of the covenant for the covenant with Noah, with the rainbow, is the symbolism that comes with that. We look at the rainbow, and we tend to look at the rainbow and say, oh, yeah, that's pretty. It's a pretty rainbow. And it is a pretty rainbow. But in ancient Israel, in ancient times, it had a bit of a different connotation. And it had a different connotation because of a different way we use the word bow. Right? And if you think about a bow as in a bow and arrow or a battle bow, it carried this type of connotation. The idea that God has hung up his battle bow. Never again will he flood the earth. Never again will he do that. He's hung up his weapon. And in fact, which way is the bow pointing? If you're going to put an arrow in a rainbow and pull it back, which way is it pointing? Up to God. If he ever breaks his covenant, he will take the punishment for us. So it's really interesting. So what does this sign point to? What does this sign of the Sabbath tell us? Well, the Israelites were supposed to remember the Sabbath day. Right? And this is not just an intellectual thing. This is not just an intellectual recall that you're supposed to remember it. And we know that. We know how that works because, guys, it's not enough just to remember your anniversary. Is it? I remember it. It's today. I remembered. You know, you don't get a gold star for that. You got to do something. You got to remember it, and then you act on that remembrance. Right? You remember somebody's birthday, and then you wish them a happy birthday. Right? Somebody comes up to you and says, you know, it was my birthday last week. You say, yeah, I know, I remembered. But you didn't say anything. You didn't tell them anything. You didn't, right? You know, that's not the type of remembering we're talking about. It's remembering that moves you to act in a concrete way. Think back to Exodus. God's people are in Egypt, right? And they're crying out because they're in slavery. And it says, and God remembered his people. That doesn't mean God, oh yeah, the Israelites, that's right. they're my people. No, he remembered them, and he acted upon it. He acted upon his covenant. This is the same type of remember. They're supposed to remember and act upon it. Remember it and act upon it. Right? It's not just simply to remember that this is the seventh day. Oh, yeah, this is day seven. This is the Sabbath. But to remember it by making it holy, by setting it apart from the other days of the week for a purpose. For a purpose. And one of the purposes is the Sabbath as a trust exercise. Have you ever been in a, maybe you've been in a team building thing, or you've been at a camp or something, you do like those trust falls, right? And you stand there, there's a bunch of people behind you, and you go like this, and you fall backwards, and you hope they catch you. Or maybe you've seen them on the internet or something. The idea is that you know, I'm going to go here, I'm going to fall backwards, I'm going to let myself fall, and the people behind me are going to catch me. And so it shows that I trust them, because I can fall into that. I can think of better ways to prove it, but you're supposed to catch you before you hit the ground. Have you ever seen, there's a few videos out there where people do the trust fall, and they're standing, and they're ready, and everybody's behind them waiting to catch them, and they fall forward? Yeah. Yeah. You can imagine what it would mean in a farming community, a farming society, to receive a command not to work one day out of the week. If you ever spent any time on a farm or a ranch or anything like that, you know, to get the command not to work one day out of the week. Yeah, but that's how I get my food, God. That's where my livelihood comes from. That's how I feed my family. And this command is entirely unique in the ancient Near East. There is no other command that we know of from any other cultures during that time that has this idea of the Sabbath. Not one. It's completely and totally unique to Israel. There's nothing comparable. And this is one of the reasons why it points that it's a sign of the covenant, because it is unique to Israel. It's not for everybody else. It's not this universal thing for everybody to keep the Sabbath in this way. It's a command for Israel. It's a sign for Israel. And it's more than just a command to simply rest, but it's this exercise in trust. Can you trust that if I take a day off, if I rest from my labors, that God still is in control of the world? Can I trust God that if I rest, that the sun's still going to come up, that the world's still going to turn, that things are still going to happen? Now, this is hard for a lot of us, especially some of us maybe who are workaholics. It's hard to do. Or control freaks. That's not a very nice thing to say, control freaks. Let's say controlling personalities. Right? I got to make sure that I'm in control of everything. I can't take a day off, because if I take a day off, everything falls apart. Really? If I take a day off from my job, everything's going to fall apart. You know what's going to happen when you quit your job? They're going to hire somebody else the next day. And it's going to keep on rolling. The Sabbath reminds us that it's not true that we're in control of the world. The Sabbath reminds us that we don't need to run the world. That God's doing a fine job of it. And we can trust Him. And we can rest. We can take a day off. The Sabbath reminds us that our trust is not in the work of my hands, but it's in the provision of a sovereign God. And the command, and you can think, well, okay, that's good, right? I like that. So what I'll do then, I'll take the day off, but I'll hire some employees to keep working, right? I'll make sure some employees keep working. Yeah, there's a problem with that. The next sentence in the command. Because you look at the command and it says, who's supposed to take the day off? Who's supposed to rest? Well, it says, you shall not do any work. And then it continues on and it says, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male or your female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town. Everybody gets to rest. I remember when I was working in retail, I was working for Sport Check, and I was working at a store in, I think it was Sherwood Park. And when I worked for Sport Check, I was like a fixer. And so they would send me around and transfer me around to the stores that needed fixing. Which, I mean, it's a nice job because you're always in demand. But it's like the worst job. Because you know what happens is you go to a store that needs fixing, and you get it fixed and it's running well, right? And then you get transferred to another store that needs fixing. And you never get to enjoy a store that's running well. So I was at this one store, and the manager at the store would never, ever work Saturdays. Never. He would never work Saturdays. Not once. He would never work Saturdays. Now, you don't need to be a genius or have spent any time working retail to know that the busiest day of the week for a retail store is Saturday. And he would never work them. Now, on one hand, it was really nice because that meant the boss wasn't there on Saturday. Right? And you know, if you have a boss, it's always nice when the boss isn't there, right? Unless you're the boss, and then it's hard to not be there. But on one hand, it was really great. But on the other hand, it sent a really clear message. I'm more important than you are. I get my Saturdays off because I'm more important than you are. I get this day of rest that everybody wants, because we all want Saturdays off. That's when everybody else has the day off, right? You want to spend time with people and friends, and you want to go out and stuff. But the clear message was, I'm better than you are. I'm more important than you are. I get the day off. You don't. You got to work. And you'll notice in this command to Israel that it flattens that line out. It totally flattens that line out. And there's a part in this command that's actually a humanitarian part. Even the foreigners couldn't work. Even if you had somebody visiting from another country, they weren't to work. You weren't to hire people from outside Israel to come in and work on the Sabbath. Why? Because all people have value. All people have worth. All people are made in the image of God and should follow God's order. And this is not just people either, but it's animals. Your animals get a day off. Your ox gets a day off. Right? They get to rest. And so you can think about in that world what it would look like, how people would treat their animals, how they would see their animals when their animals got a day of rest just like they did. Now, they didn't have pets like we did, right? My dogs always get a day of rest. That's their life, is rest. They didn't have pets. Their animals were either food or they were tools, right? They were either working thing or they were food. But the working animals weren't just working animals in the Israelite culture. They were valuable enough to give them a rest. This would have been totally countercultural in the ancient Near East. Right, there's a compassion there for all living creatures, for all living things. On one of our trips to the Caribbean for scuba diving, I really wanted to find a frogfish. And if you don't know what a frogfish is he's about this big, and he's a little lumpy-looking fish guy. And he kind of sits there. He doesn't really have fins. He kind of got feet, and he sits on coral, and he's got a big mouth like a frog, and he waits to ambush prey. But, I mean, big. He's only a little fish. The hard thing about finding a frogfish is that they are absolutely masters of camouflage. They are unbelievable at camouflage. Their coloration, and because they're all bumpy, like they look, it's hard to get their outline, and so they're really hard to find. So even if you know where they are, and the reason why you can say know where they are, because they don't move very much. They stay in one place. So if you find one, you go back the next day, it's still there, you know, and it might stay for almost a week. But even if you know where they are, they're still incredibly hard to find, like unbelievably hard to find, these little frogfish. So someone from one of the dive shops told us where to find one. And so we go and we, you know, we get, you know, on the coral head, this is where he said to find it. So we're there and we drop down about 35 feet and we start looking. And for about 45 minutes, we scoured this coral head, looked at every inch of this coral head, never did find the frogfish. But what we did find was that when we slowed down, when we settled down, when we calmed ourselves, what we normally would have just swam past on our way to somewhere else, we found this amazing abundance of life and color and just this explosion of God's creation in this one little coral head. That it wasn't just another piece of coral, but it was actually teeming with order and beauty and wonder. The command of the Sabbath here is rooted in creation. Right? Why should we keep the Sabbath? Well, because God worked for 6 days, you know, and created everything. On the seventh day, he rested. Part of the command is for us to remember that, is to bring us back to creation. We're to follow that pattern as a reminder of God's creation. We're to follow God's pattern. As people made in his image, we're not just following his example, but we're following his lead. We're following in his footsteps. And in following his lead, we'll be reminded of the goodness of his creation, of the amazingness of his creation. But it only happens when we slow down and we notice. We slow down and notice the trees, the animals, the beauty all around us. Like when we slowed down today and talked about the things that we're thankful for. And we notice. When we drop down out of the busyness of life and into the rest of God, we're reminded of his power. We're reminded of his amazing creation. See, the Sabbath is meant in a way to bring us back to Eden, even just for a day. To remember, to enjoy, to be in the presence of God without toil and without labor. See, it's interesting in Deuteronomy 5 when the Ten Commandments are repeated that it's not linked to creation in there. It's linked to freedom from slavery in Egypt. So in Exodus 20, it's linked to creation. In Deuteronomy 5, it's linked to slavery in Egypt. That doesn't mean only the people in Exodus had to think about creation, but in Deuteronomy 5, you know, now we're thinking about freedom, so leave that behind. It's both and. We're to take a day of rest because we are free. When you were slaves in Egypt, you weren't allowed to rest. You weren't allowed to take a day off. You had to work all the time, but now you're free. And so you get to take a day off, and so you will take a day off. And so in a world of chaos and disorder, they are to order their lives as free people. In our world of chaos and disorder, we are to order our lives as free people. You are not a slave to your emails. You are not a slave to your job. You are not a slave to the 24-hour news channel. If you miss the breaking story on CNN, it'll be on every hour for the next 4 days. You'll hear about it. It's not only a day where they don't have to work. Or it's not only a day where they won't work, it's a day where they don't have to work. And it's a practice that reminds them and reminds us where our loyalty lies. Where does my loyalty lie? Is my weekly calendar, I'm not giving you tips on how to clear your calendar, but is your weekly calendar completely full with work stuff or tasks or jobs that need to be done but has very little space for resting in God? The sign of the Sabbath in the Old Testament ultimately points towards Christ. That's where we find our rest. That's where we find our ultimate rest. So the nation of Israel tramples the Sabbath. And it's this good gift. Jesus comes and he comes to fulfill it and he calls himself the Lord of the Sabbath. He says if you're weary and you want to find rest, to come to him. He says that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What that means is the Sabbath is a gift to us, a gift from God from us. It was a gift to Israel. God said, this is my gift to you. And Israel said, I don't want it. And God tells us, this is my gift to you. And we say, but God, I got an email I got to deal with. I know I'm picking on emails. That's my thing, is emails. I have a hard time not checking emails on my day off. But whatever that is for you, You know, God says, come and just rest in me. Enjoy the presence of your family. Enjoy the presence of creation. Remember what I've done for you. Remember who you are and where your loyalty lies. Remember that I've saved you and set you free, and you're no longer a slave to sin, and you're no longer part of this world system, but you're not of this world anymore. Remember that. That's what he calls us to. And we're going to say, yes, my loyalty lies with God, and therefore, I'm going to order my life that way. We find our freedom in Christ, in knowing our sins are forgiven. Who can accuse us? We know that God loves us and he's for us. Who can be against us? See, our worth is found in him, in being his child. Your worth is not found in how hard you work. Your worth is not found in how much you accomplish. Your worth is not found in making sure you're running every minute of every day. Being too busy for the Lord is not a badge of honor. The world talks about hustling and grinding. Well, the gospel speaks of resting. Resting in his power. Resting and trusting in his might. See, we're not made for constant work. We're not made for constant toil and struggle. We were made to be with God, to experience his goodness. To work, yes. I'm not saying we need to be lazy. To work, yes, but also to rest. It's not good for us to be going 24/7. It's not good for our souls. It's not good for our bodies. It's not good for our minds. Why is Sunday morning so important to come together? Because we take that time and we rest with God. We say, this is a priority. Everything else can wait. Because this is important. And you're here this morning. You've made that decision. You've made that proclamation where your loyalty lies. I know there's other things you could be doing. Lots of other things you could be doing. But you've decided this is the most important. You've made a right decision. You're going to live following him and not following the world. The Sabbath is not a day in which we observe. We're not to judge one another on how we observe it or what day you observe it on. The Jewish Sabbath was Saturday because it was the last day of the week. Right, that was the seventh day. That's the Jewish Sabbath, is Saturday. The Christian church from the beginning always celebrated on Sunday. Now, why did they celebrate on Sunday? Well, because the Jewish Sabbath was on Saturday. That was one of the reasons. So Saturday was the end of God's work week, right? He created all the creation in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested on the end. But on Sunday, the next Sunday comes along, week two comes along, and there's a new creation. Jesus rises from the dead on week two, day one. So, the seventh day, remember creation. Remember what God has done. Remember that you're set free. And then we're going to celebrate on Sunday because we've been made new, because there's a new creation. The Sabbath is a gift to be thankful for. Thankful that God has saved me. Thankful that Jesus has paid my price on the cross. To be thankful that I'm not a slave to the world system. To be thankful that my worth is not in how hard I work or how many hours I put in. To be thankful for this amazing creation and to the new creation in Christ. To be thankful I can look ahead to an eternal rest with God. Thankful that I can go to Jesus and find rest for my weary soul. I'm thankful that God has given us a rhythm of life. So with that being said, then the question for you is, how can you practice the Sabbath? Maybe you're thinking right now, well, yeah, but I got to work some Sundays, or I got to work Saturdays, or my work schedule is kind of all over the place, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. The point of the Sabbath is not booking a whole day off to make sure you don't do anything. It's resting from your normal labors. It's about where your heart is. It's a posture of trust and loyalty. Do I rest in Christ to find my value and my worth? Or am I chasing the world systems and approval from the world? Maybe you need to set firm boundaries with work.
or people around you in order to do that. It's going to be hard, but maybe you need to. Maybe you need to be creative because of the way your work schedule works or the way your life works. Don't get so enslaved to work. Don't get so enslaved to money or things or approval that you wear yourself out chasing them. Instead, take time to remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. Set it apart from your normal tasks. Remember creation. Remember that you've been set free. Where do you need to stop and slow down? What do you need to shift around in your life to remember His grace? We're going to take some time right now to do this. So instead of having a closing song this morning, we're just going to sit. I'm going to put a song on. You're welcome to sing along to it if you like, but we're going to stay sitting, and we're just going to rest right now. The world is busy enough. We don't need to rush through everything. So we're going to take, I don't know, the song's 4 minutes long or so. We're going to take time to just rest. Listen to the song, listen to the words of the song, pray, sleep, take a 4-minute nap if you need it. I never get upset when people fall asleep during my sermons. I never do. So if you fall asleep during my sermons and you feel guilty about it, don't feel guilty. I never get upset. You know, if you needed the rest, I'm glad you get the rest. It doesn't bug me. I mean, you're missing out, right? Like, you're missing out. This is gold, all of it. But we're just going to rest. So I want to invite you to just rest in God's presence right now. And we're going to listen to the song, and then I'll close us. And then we'll head out. So, Hannah, would you mind?